keeping you country company. Dakota Country, KOKK Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. Coming off a Friday night, plenty of high school football. Huron Tigers' final home game of the regular season as they hosted the Yankton Bucks at Tiger Stadium. Huron played tight with the top-ranked Bucks for a half. Huron kicked a field goal with a little over 2 minutes to go in the second quarter to pull within 6-3. Yankton, though, was able to respond with a long kick return, then a touchdown run to go up 13-3 at halftime. And in the second half, Yankton's defense held Huron without a first down and rolled to a 44-3 win. For Huron, Dylan Lichty, Tyson Lean each had interceptions. Ong Min hit the 36-yard field goal. Huron drops to 2-5 on the season and will travel to Tri-Valley next week. Tri-Valley, incidentally, played Canton last night. Canton picking up the win, 34-14. Here on KOKK last night, Hitchcock Tulare hosted Potter County. Interesting matchup in that Potter County had not played in a month due to COVID issues for them and their opponents. Potter County had not played since September 11th. Hitchcock Tulare got on a roll in the second half. They were up 8-0 at halftime and then took control in the second half and defeated Potter County 34-14. Huge night for Kyle Hamilton. 13 carries for 183 yards and two touchdowns. Carter Binger had 17 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown. Landon Puffer had a pick six for the Patriots as well. They rolled up over 300 yards rushing in the win last night. Hitchcock Tulare, after starting out 0-3, they're now 3-4 on the season and will play North Border to wrap up the regular season next week. Wolsey Wessington, top-ranked in 9B, took care of business with a 46-0 win over Colombe last night. Corbin Harmeyer was 16-22 passing, 253 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Keegan Hyder had a pair of touchdown runs for the Warbirds as well, as they are 6-1 on the season. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central was playing Chamberlain last night for a second time this season. The two teams opened back in August. Then this game was added on Monday as each were looking for an opponent after teams had to cancel due to COVID. The Blackhawks picked up a 19-0 win over Chamberlain. Clay Olinger carried the ball 27 times for 123 yards and a touchdown. Camden Yost, Quentin Christensen also scored for Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. Other scores in the area: winner shut out Miller Highmore Herald 50-0. Mobridge defeated Redfield 48-6. Other scores from 11AA: Brookings defeated Pier 21-14. Game turned in the fourth quarter. Pier was stopped on a fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. And a couple of plays later, Brookings connected on a 79-yard touchdown pass. And that was the winning score as Brookings stays undefeated at 21-14. Belle Fouche kept Spearfish winless 31-6. St. Thomas More defeated Douglas 45-18. Sturgis surprised Mitchell 42-20. Maybe I shouldn't say surprised. Sturgis has been playing very well. And out in Sturgis, they shut out Mitchell in the second half on their way to the victory. Some AAA scores: O'Gorman held off a late rally by Watertown to win 31-29. Watertown missed a very long field goal at the end of the game that would have won it, but the field goal wasn't all that close. Well, there's shootouts out there. Harrisburg outlasted Sioux Falls Lincoln 46-42. That game went back and forth all night. Looked like Lincoln had a chance to win it on the final play of the game, but a pass in the end zone was intercepted, and Harrisburg pulled out the win. Aberdeen shut out Rapid City Stevens by a score of 35-0, and that's the scores we have from last night. There is one game tonight. Sioux Falls, Washington is playing Brandon Valley, and of course there were a number of canceled games. Sioux Falls Roosevelt, top-ranked in AAA, was off again for a second consecutive week as Rapid City Central had to cancel their matchup. So teams just trying to work their way through the season. But for 9-man and 11B, playoffs are actually less than 2 weeks away. Class A Girls Tennis State Tournament wrapped up yesterday out in Rapid City. Sioux Falls Lincoln wins the team title at 547. Rapid City Stevens was second at 504.5. Those two teams ran away from the rest of the field. O'Gorman was a distant third at 310. That's the rundown of our results from yesterday. A look at the schedule for today. Cross country, Huron Tigers are headed to Aberdeen. It's the ESD conference meet coming up later on today. Cheer and dance, Huron Tigers are at the Mitchell Invitational, and I do see one volleyball match on the schedule for today in the area. Centerville is at Iroquois Dolan. Will be a busy day for soccer, as AA boys and girls have quarterfinals, and the Class A boys and girls have their semifinals today. Everybody getting geared up to head to Huron next week, now a week from today, as we'll be hosting the state soccer finals at Tiger Stadium. In the quarterfinals, AA girls, number 9 O'Gorman is at number 1 Aberdeen, number 12 Watertown's at number 4 Brandon Valley, number 7 seed Roosevelt's at number 2 Harrisburg, 6 seed Rapid City Central is at number 3 seed Rapid City Stevens. AA boys, number 9 seed Washington at number 1 seed Stevens, 5 seed Roosevelt at number 4 Aberdeen, number 7 O'Gorman's at number 2 Spearfish, number 6 seed Lincoln is at number 3 seed Watertown. Class A again semifinals today. Winners today will come to Huron next week. Class A girls, 4 seed Sioux Falls Christian is at top seed West Central, 3 seed Vermilion is at number 2 seed T. Class A boys, 4 seed St. Thomas More is at top seed Sioux Falls Christian, 3 seed Vermilion is at number 2 seed T. Vermilion and T will just have a soccer doubleheader with winning teams heading to the state finals next week. And a quick note on next Saturday, or actually next Friday and Saturday, Tiger Stadium will be closed both Friday and Saturday next weekend as Huron gets set to host those state soccer championships. Friday is practice day for the 8 qualifying teams, so that's why they're closed down Friday. And then, of course, the 4 championship games will be held on Saturday at Tiger Stadium. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday today, we'll talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budenhagen. We'll also preview ESD Cross Country with head coach Angie Thomas and visit with Scott Spenton, head here on Tiger Football coach, about last night's game and what's ahead here as Huron gets set to close out the season. That's Dakota Sports Saturday this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
And we talk with Angie Thomas, head cross-country coach for the Huron Tigers. Huron and the rest of the ESD headed to Aberdeen. Conference meet is today. And, Coach, I guess that's the first thing. Back on August 1st, you never knew if you would get to this stage of the season. So, really, with maybe a few scheduled tweaks, other than that, the Huron Tiger cross-country season has pretty much come off as you would have hoped it would have.
Yeah, you're exactly right there. We were very, you know, skeptical at the beginning, we were optimistic about it, but a little skeptical about whether or not we'd make it this far. And I'm not going to lie, but I'm getting more anxious and some more anxiety the closer we get to, you know, finishing up our season and making it to state. You know, these kids have put in a lot of hard work, and I just want to, now that state is in within reach, I want us to be able to get there.
Well, and that's the thing, and I was not aware of this. I knew you'd went and run at a Sioux Falls Roosevelt meet a week ago, but yet I did not realize till we started doing this interview that that meet was actually kind of put together at the last minute after Watertown had to cancel due to their school district going to remote learning. And so that's the type of thing that you can do in this type of year.
Yeah, that was really nice of Sioux Falls Roosevelt to throw that together. It worked out really well, kind of like a mini state meet, if you will. There were, I believe, 12 of us AA schools there, and it was a fast course. Most of my team PR'd. A lot of the other schools had a lot of kids PR as well, but it was JV varsity only, so my middle school kids did miss out on a meet. However, it was nice to get those JV varsity runners out there competing.
And not only that, if you hadn't had that meet, you'd have went maybe quite a little time here before you finally got here to ESD.
Yeah, we would have been scrambling to figure something out. Even if, you know, I was talking to Julie King about the possibility of maybe just having a duel with another team, because I think it was really important to keep that competitiveness going. And when we get on that routine of having one meet each week, it would have been really sad to miss out on that. So it was really nice, like I said, the Sioux Falls Roosevelt to schedule that.
Well, let's go to ESD. It's in Aberdeen. And first off, talk about your squads. Now, the boys have been running as a full team this entire season. Girls, I assume you're going to put together a team, and because they have not really ran in that full team status very much, if at all, this year.
No, the girls haven't. I did move up Josie Bleeker. She's our seventh grader, and she had been running really well at the JV level. And I moved her up to varsity last week when we went to Sioux Falls, and she ran her best 5K that she has ever run. She was our second Tiger in. Tori Buffington PR'd. She broke that 21-minute barrier that she's been working on. She ran a 20:40. Brooklyn Botel was third with a PR with a 21:25. She was 3 seconds behind Josie. So if I can get those three top girls, you know, going even faster, and then I will pull up Hannah Schoenfelder, an eighth grader, and Tatum Peterson, who was a freshman, I'll pull her up as well. And I'm really asking a lot out of Hannah and Tatum for this team, you know, hopefully to get past Watertown Pier and maybe Mitchell. I really need those two girls, Hannah and Tatum, to run 21, really low 22s for me.
And we're talking with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach for the Huron Tigers, as they have the ESD meet in Aberdeen. The boys team now, you kind of know what you got there, as I said, and it's been the first time in several years we have run a full boys team, I believe, at pretty much every meet we've been to.
Yeah, I've filled a varsity team for every meet we've been at. You know, it's good and bad. It's good because they're getting the competition at the varsity level. However, I do have some younger kids. You know, they're freshmen, sophomore, and I just think maybe they would have had a better chance of getting a medal at the JV level. I'm kind of on the fence with how that's going. However, this last meet in Sioux Falls, just seeing how they ran and how much time they took off, you know, that was really promising to see. However, for them to, you know, beat any teams today at ESD, Cheech needs to run, you know, another PR. He hit 17:45 last week. Really, he needs to be low 17, and he has a shot to place top 15, but he's still got to take another 40 seconds off his time. Will Radke and TJ Lean both ran PRs. However, they need to be high 17s, and then I need Cameron Cutshaw and Will Knipling and Angel Olivo Porcayo. I need them to run low 18s or mid 18s even, and they're in the 19s. And then Gonzalo Quispe, Laura is my seventh runner I'll have running varsity, and I really need him to break out. And I know he can run faster than 20 minutes. He just has to believe it himself and do it.
Tell us about the Aberdeen course. I know one thing you did say with Roosevelt, the impromptu meet that was held last week, a fairly flat course, and you talked about everybody running their best time ever. That was the case for a lot of schools. What's Aberdeen throw at the kids?
Aberdeen has a fast course, and we run it every year. It's familiar to us. I think the kids like the course, and yeah, it's relatively flat, so there's a good chance that we could have a lot of PRs today as well.
And then finally, who are some of the teams you look to push for the top of the ESD title?
Oh, that's going to be tough. There are some great runners out there. Brandon Valley has a lot of great runners on the boys and girls side. Yankton does. Aberdeen probably has a good chance of winning the boys for sure. So yeah, it's a tough call for that top position.
And finally, you kind of mentioned this earlier as we talked about, you've been able to have a full schedule, maybe not quite where you were originally scheduled to go, but still 2 weeks, and just kind of the way you talked there right at the beginning of the interview, these next 2 weeks are going to be a little white knuckle for you. Let's just get through this, get our whole season in with Roger Lecker next week, then the state meet coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I keep telling our kids that because we're a social group, we're a social bunch, and I have to keep reminding them, you know, put those masks on. We've toughed through all this. We've made it this far. We want to make it all the way to state. We don't want, you know, not that it's, we're not, you know, we're doing this for nothing. They're still getting something out of each day, each week, each meet that we have. However, that ending result, that state meet, that's what they're goal is to participate in that, run a PR, just do the best they can. So that is what we have been striving for, and I am truly optimistic that we will get there.
And one thing with ESD too, and again, this is something that the last few years, I don't know if you had really been able to maybe do, but you're also going to run a full JV team for the boys today.
Yeah, I'm pulling up a couple boys that they've been working really hard in practice, and I asked them honestly their opinion on if they wanted to do it or not. It's a 4K. Their longest this season has been a 3K, and they were pretty excited about it. They've been working hard. And I did pull up Alec Pester last week for the Sioux Falls meet. He's an eighth grader, and he ended up being my first Tiger in at the JV level. And then Wasso is a sophomore. Ben Ollers is a freshman. They have been running JV all season. And then I'm going to pull up two more eighth graders, Angelo Medina and Ryan Flory. So, yeah, I'll be able to fill a boys JV team and a boys varsity team this year, something that I haven't done, I don't think, since I've been coaching. So that's a really good thing.
Angie Thomas, head coach here on Tiger Cross Country, getting to the stretch run of the season. Later today, it's the ESD Conference Meet in Aberdeen. Next Thursday, the annual Roger Lecker Invitational at Broadland Creek. 2 weeks from today is State Cross Country. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Hi, this is Tenley Bunhagen, senior on the Huron volleyball team. Our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Night is Tuesday, October 27th, when we host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is Dream Bigger for a Cure. The special t-shirts are now available. Contact any member of the Huron volleyball team to purchase one. Money raised will go to Huron Regional Medical Center for prevention and treatment. Due to COVID, the rose ceremony will be virtual, and the silent auction with a variety of donated items will be online. Don't miss Breast Cancer Awareness Night at the Huron Arena on Tuesday, October 27th.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And with that, let's talk a little here on Tiger Volleyball. Head coach Shelley Budnagan joins us here. Tigers just a one-match week this week, went out to Pier on Thursday, and had a little trouble getting off the ground running, but were able to make plays to win the first two sets, took care of the third set and get the sweep. And a week off this time of year, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. You just kind of felt you were just not quite had your feet under you there for a while on Thursday.
Well, I think, first of all, Pierre came out really aggressive, and of course they were going to be excited to
play. They're happy to play, and they're happy to play at home.
Yeah, so they're just fired up and pumped up, and we were caught a little bit on our heels and trying to get a rhythm back in so many ways. And I also think, you know, when you have a loss such as we did at Sioux Falls, Washington, we're a little snake bit. I mean, let's, mm-hmm. I don't even know what that means, but I know that we were really hurt. We were really disappointed, which were really good signs when you're a competitive team and want to win. And so the practices were, I said, you know, to the kids last week, these practices are mine. You know, you mm-hmm. just do your job in practice, and then when the matches come, they're all yours. And so, you know, I love to practice, and we got better at a few things, so I thought. But, you know, so coaches kind of sometimes expect slow starts. We had a few key pieces back for us, it just was going to take a while. You know, our offense is based on rhythm and timing, and we had made a flip with our couple. You know, again, mm-hmm. even when you flip, it does, to the naked eye, they don't see the change.
The rotation looks the same.
Yeah, it does, but it doesn't. I mean, what we did was we moved McKenna and Bryn Goes. We flipped where McKenna was. You know, typically I like my best servers coming up first, coming right at you, and there was something that we saw that maybe would have helped our serve receive game, which really isn't me. You know, I like to put our serving is what we're matching up against, but we saw something and we tried it. And so that does make a difference. It's just kind of bizarre in the game of volleyball where you make a flip like that, and the relationships in the court and the communication and knowing who you're playing around at the time is a little bit different. And so I thought Maddie Huber did a really good job of coming in and serving in McKenna's spot. We didn't miss a heartbeat. I think she had five or six aces.
Yeah, I think I had her for four, but she got on a roll both in the first and third sets,
yeah,
if I remember right.
Yeah, did some really nice things serving. Mm-hmm. And then I thought defensively it might have been her best match ever. She just is starting to really get it. And I think the confidence thing for some players, especially Maddie, really, really is a big thing. And I think Maddie's really growing in that area, too, and starting to trust herself and trust her teammates as well. And I thought, you know, with Libby and the timing, that might be a big question mark. When we're all based on the rhythm and timing, the passing and where the setter is and where the hitter is, that can be really precarious at times, and it was in the beginning, but we were not worried as far as we just knew that she would get better as the match went on. And we thought actually her third set was her best set, just as we predicted, that the more she played the better. And honestly, right now at this part of the season, Jeff, if we go five sets, it'll be really hard on my nerves and really hard on my stomach, and
it's always hard on me, isn't
and
it?
my hair color, and but that's probably what this team really needs. I bet you we'll have some gray hairs here at the end. I just think we need to play. And so if we go four or five sets, it's going to be okay. And, you know, I just have to relax and let us go and not worry so much and make sure the team isn't worrying so much.
And as we move ahead here now we start to get busy again. Three matches next week, including back-to-back on Friday, Saturday for Rapid City weekend. First off, though, off to Harrisburg on Tuesday, and I'm not sure what Harrisburg's record is, but to me, they're going to be still the the team under the radar in Double A, they're just a scary team.
They are a very scary team, and they're playing better and better, and they've got some tall kids, if you remember. And mm-hmm. So the brooms are going to come out again in practice, where we have to hit high hands, high fingertips if we're getting jammed at the net. And already against Pier, you may have saw us start out with, and this may have been part of the problem, where we wanted to set off the net a little bit more. Because of, we thought mm-hmm. Pier was going to be really tall and jumpy, jump real high and lengthy. And so we did, I think Tenley and the hitters pretty much did this on their own, but they moved a little bit closer again to the net. And so we'll be working again on Tenley setting about 5 feet off the net and giving our hitters some room to see the block and hit around or hit on high hands. And then, just watching a little bit of clips here and there of Harrisburg, they're starting to hit really super hard, but hopefully our block is going to be in the right place at the right time, and at least we can get the ball slowed down for our back row. We've been working hard on our back row too since at Sioux Falls, Washington, and we got a little maybe complacent as a coaching staff and just thought things were, you just learn that sometimes there's teams that you can just maybe just go do this, and they'll do it, and there's some teams that you have to remind every day and do every day, and that's kind of with our youth in the back row. That's just what we have to do right now, is just hammer on things, and hopefully our lateral speed is getting a little bit better as we go here too.
Now, as we look ahead, I guess I haven't looked ahead past next week, but I imagine we're already second week of October here. I'd imagine 2 to 3 matches a week here on out, and probably that's just kind of a good pace for the team at this point.
Well, it is for the players. Yep.
Yeah, and especially when you look at what Pier and I assume Watertown's up against here. I know Pier's going to play their fifth match in 10 days today, and then I believe right at the end of the season they got a stretch of 4 and 5 days or something like that. So this gives you a little better pace.
Yeah, well, it's a players' week.
Yeah.
And they're gonna love this. Where they just have a couple practices and play, and a couple practices and play, and this is really good for them. And you look at it, we have only 8 matches left in the regular season. Are you mm-hmm. kidding? Where did the season go, right?
Well, again, that goes back. I think we talked about this before. Here on football, here on the volleyball, have played every match against the team they're supposed to on the night they're supposed to. We haven't had any changes here on girls tennis. Didn't even have a weather postponement, more or less a COVID one. And I guess boys golf and the two soccer teams were affected once. So from that standpoint, we're walking a tight, I don't care how this went so far, we are walking a tightrope, but so far we've stayed on it.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I know Harrisburg had 2 matches.
Yeah, but not because of them.
Because of their opponents.
Yeah.
And so if it's not hitting you in your own gym, it might be hitting you somewhere else. And just visiting real quickly with the peer coaches, they just, they just had to get off quarantine, have like 1 or 2 practices, and start mm-hmm. playing. And just from a standpoint, I believe in this, say that every day that your athlete doesn't work out, they lose 3% mm-hmm. of their conditioning and skill work. And so you think about that, our two, three actually, were we had a lower level one too, were out for almost 17 days. They hadn't played for 21 mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
We played at Harris here homecoming week.
Harrisburg.
And then they didn't get to do a whole, so they hadn't played for 21 days. Well, think about that. 21 times 3 is...
Mm-hmm.
That's 63%.
That means, right? I'm like 550 million percent behind.
Right. Now, they did start practicing, but we had to watch reps, just to kind of make sure that, number one, you don't go from 0 to 100, because volleyball does make you sore.
Especially the jumping.
Right. So 54% they lost over quarantine. Mm-hmm. Now, you can walk all you want outside. You can try to lift weights, but it's just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pier, the coaches couldn't wait to get them back in the gym and train. And so while it's fun to play, coaches have to practice.
Like I said to Coach Keenels in the pre-match there Thursday for Pier, I said, you know what, I don't know how much schooling you had. I don't know if you played college or what you did in high school, but I don't think there's been any coaching clinic that covered what the Pier governors had been up against.
No, you got to give them a lot of credit. And I thought, I think Pier is a good volleyball team.
Mm-hmm.
Casey did play in college at Southwest State. She was a really good player. They were, she was from Nebraska at the time. And her sister, I think Tim Ahmet was in this era, but you might remember this name, but Tessa Heiss was at Pierce. Oh. And they moved into Nebraska. We back in those days, we had a defense made just for her.
Oh.
She was that good. So it was called Green. Imagine that. But
yeah.
Yeah, so those two young ladies were spectacular volleyball players and went off to play at college. Just a little trivia for you.
Like I said, I did not know that.
Yeah.
So. Well, another thing we want to talk about again, it's still a couple weeks off, but the Breast Cancer Awareness Night is set. We'll look a little different, but in other ways, we'll still look the same. That'll be, what, the 27th? Yep, 27th of October. Mitchell Colonel's in town, and still doing a lot of the same things, just differently.
Right. Well, you know, we've got a lot of work to do on this, on this, and it's going to be interesting. But the video already, I've gotten a couple really nice pictures of some rose recipients, and we'll put that video together, and then at the arena, we'll mention their names and still have our players present a rose, and we'll make it kind of cool. We have a lot of work to do on that, and then our online auction, this will be the second year, and last year we had two coaches in the system help me with Jennifer Fuchs and Char Sarda, and they both ref volleyball for a lot of volleyball.
A lot of our lower levels.
Yeah, a lot of volleyball. And now they've had to go out and about, too, because of referees getting sick with COVID. So those young ladies, just to tell you the story, said, you know, I think we can do an online auction, which would take care of not having to sell so many T-shirts, which, by the way, this year we feel that T-shirts are going to be kind of cool. Hopefully they're on their way here in about a week and a half.
Okay.
We're starting to sell more. I think our household has sold around 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are going to be really, really nice. And again, all those donations go to HRMC, to the We Got You Covered program. So then they said, you know, I think we can do this auction. It's going to be really cool. And I'm like, auction? Oh, man. I don't know if I have, you know, time for this. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll handle it. And I was absolutely amazed at the generosity of the people in this town, at the creativity of the people in this town, and then the skills at which Jennifer and Char made all these baskets and these areas that we could bid on. And I lost every bid I made, but I also was coaching in the final bid.
I sent my wife down there to snipe, and she didn't do it. I didn't get anything either.
But this year, hopefully, with it being online, with HRMC using their platform for that, and I haven't gotten the details, and we'll work more on that. I know that the date is sneaking up on us. What is it, October 10th? What's the date today?
The 10th.
Yeah, we got 17 days.
Oh, 10th, that's right, Mr. Senator.
Yep. I'm just starting to take some phone calls now, and I know that Kim Weed, who graduated from HC at the time, back in the...
Well, I think she's from here.
Already has donated a huge boatload of stuff, a great big basket, some pillows, blankets where she works, the Sleep Number in Sioux Falls.
Oh, cool.
I think she's one of the higher up managers there, and generosity. And then we've gotten some other things too, the Norby Center, obviously, and here in Tiger Volleyball has some stuff we want to donate, and we'll be donating a signed volleyball too, or you know, whatever. So we're starting to take some phone calls, and the kids haven't gone out really to solicit, just because we've been busy.
And really not supposed to do that face-to-face, maybe.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out is
like the cookie sales.
Yeah, how can we do this without the face-to-face thing? At this time of season, if somebody gets sick, they might be out until playoffs, and we already have seen how hard it is to come back.
And that can be a domino.
That can be a huge domino effect. So we're really careful with this. I don't know how to do this, but... I'm assuming with the help of a lot of people here in town, we'll pull this together, and the video will start on this weekend, and I still have a lot of matches to watch and scout, but we'll work on this, and again, if any people are listening out there, which we hope you are, we are certainly
looking for,
we are looking for donations, and this has been a long-standing tradition, and maybe I'm getting long-winded here, but the parents back in 2009, I'm going to shout out to Carrie Miriam, the mom of Molly and Crystal, and a longtime Tiger mom there, and Carla Shanley. It was a lot of work.
The Waldners were kind of in the beginning, too.
Before me.
Yeah.
But then I'm sitting there going, I don't know anything about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think back then it was maybe a little bit new.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of took my hand and said, we're doing this, and this is how we're going to do it. Put it together. And I went, oh, yeah.
Looks good.
Yep. And so those two were along with me and helping this tradition. But this will be its 10th 11th? I don't even know how many years I've been coaching again. I think this is my 11th year back. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds 11, about right. 12.
Yeah, I think it is, but my 11th year. So this is 11.
Your JV coach was a junior in high school.
Yeah, sure.
And yet, you look younger now.
Yeah, and the reason why I had to come, yeah. Well, she had a lot to do with that, maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, I just think it's this is a community bring together type activity and event, and we get to put a face to a lot of the name of this disease. And I was talking to somebody yesterday at the nervous center, asking her if she wanted to be involved in the video, as I know that some athletes need a recipient. And you know, she's a two-time survivor, and she works in the school district.
Wow.
Yeah, or had worked. Mm-hmm. And people need to know that we've got true heroes out in this community. And I'm saying hero because they're paving the way for my daughters. You know, they're paving the way for me if I ever need help. And so all these donations do matter, especially in our hospital. Where I saw yesterday there was an ad on Facebook where in the You Got It Covered, We Got You Covered, mm-hmm. Program, and this is where this money goes. There's some free mammograms out there waiting for women to have, and we know that early detection is a huge part of this whole equation. And then this is what we're trying to do in Huron is get more early detections for our community women.
Well, lots of stuff. October always a busy month. Can't forget we're going to play a little volleyball.
We're going to play a lot of volleyball. And the kids are happy. We get to play volleyball. And you know what? That's what we want right now.
Hey, I was going to ask you this one thing. I remember this back when my now daughter-in-law was playing for mm-hmm. you, that she always said, if Shelly comes to practice with her glasses on, it's not going to be a fun afternoon. Is that still kind of the same rule?
No, I'm a little bit older right now. It's just sometimes contacts aren't really fun.
Yeah.
So, no, actually, if people want to know, I now need bifocals.
Ah.
Yeah. And so,
why do you think I do every game like this with my glasses down at the tip of my nose?
I did not think this was going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And so sometimes contacts aren't that much fun. And so the glasses.
I've been meaning to ask you that for a while.
No, you see me here in the morning and no one sees me with glasses. And no, I think I thought glasses were a lot more cool back then. Now I don't think they're so cool. But
well, they help me read, so I guess I'll live with it. So. Here on Tiger, Coach Shelley Budney, and again at Harrisburg on Tuesday, then the Rapid City Schools coming here for the weekend, Stevens Friday, and Central on Saturday. We'll talk some Huron Tiger football next as we wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Hi, this is Maddie Huber, senior on the Huron Tiger volleyball team. Our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Night is Tuesday, October 27th, when we host Mitchell at the Huron Arena at 7. Our theme is Dream Bigger for a Cure. The special t-shirts are now available. Contact any member of the Huron Tiger volleyball team to purchase one. Money raised will go to Huron Regional Medical Center for prevention and treatment. Due to COVID, the rose ceremony will be virtual, and the silent auction with a variety of donated items will be online. Don't miss Breast Cancer Awareness Night at the Huron Arena on Tuesday, October 27th.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we've got Huron Tiger football with head coach Scott Stanton. Huron Tigers fell to top-ranked Yankton last night, 44-3, kind of a tale of two halves. And coach, thought the kids battled well. And again, the effort's always been there here during this streak, but first half really went toe-to-toe. We gave up that late touchdown that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game.
Right. You know, once again, our kids play hard. There's never a question on that. Thought we played real competitive football the first half, considering, you know, what we were going up against, the number one ranked team, and there's a reason why they're number one ranked. And secondly, you know, we had the two young quarterbacks that we rotated, so we felt going into it the rest of the guys are going to have to step up and you know, help those two out. And, you know, first half we did a pretty good job as far as, you know, defending their run. And like you said, the one right before the half hurt, and that kind of set the tone a little bit going into halftime. And then to come back out in the second half and, you know, they get a good kickoff return and put himself in good field position. And, you know, so, but first half, I thought we competed real well. We did some good things on both sides of the ball. A couple of things that we wish would have went our way, but other than that, you know, then in the second half, it just kind of became the same song, you know, as far as just getting worn out and physically worn out. And you know, it's just one of those deals where, again, you just got to keep playing hard regardless of the score. And that's the way we tried to approach it with the kids, where just keep plugging and, you know, fight back. As long as there's a second on the clock, we're going to, you know, do the best we can as far as doing those types of things that, you know, are going to help us build this thing. So, like you said, the effort's never a question. It's just a matter of there's a reason why they're number one. And the second half, they definitely came out and proved that.
You mentioned the two sophomore quarterbacks rotated in, Dylan Lichty and Mason Davis. They do have a little bit different skill sets. Dylan's been playing all year, mainly on defense. He's taken a few snaps at quarterback. Mason's been out about all the year with a broken wrist. He just came back. So really, his first game action last night was kind of his first even action period.
Right. It's definitely a tough gig when you get thrown into the fire. Not only that, just the fact that you're playing a number one ranked team. So they get put in a tough predicament there based upon their lack of experience as far as the signal caller and getting back there. But like you said, they have different skill sets that they can utilize. And I thought overall, you know, I haven't had a chance to look at the video yet, but overall last night, you know, they did exactly what we asked them to do, and that is, you know, manage the game and do things within your capability and not outside of that. And I thought overall, you know, they did a pretty good job of managing the game.
You know, and there were just a few things that came in there, a few drop passes that might have made a difference. We had a couple of penalties. We didn't have a ton of penalties, but it seemed like every time we got one, it came at the time where it could hurt us the most.
Right, there were a couple of untimely ones. You know, one of those deals, again, where, you know, you have opportunities. We talked about it before the game and all week long, is that we got to do, you know, a good job of staying ahead of the chains and not put us in long yardage situations, especially with our situation at quarterback, and help those guys out. And at times we did that, and at times we didn't, you know, capitalize on some things. And, you know, they made some nice throws. And so, like I said, considering everything going into it, I thought they did a pretty good job of doing exactly what we asked them to do. And we asked, you know, we basically said everybody else is going to have to step up their game. When you're without your starting quarterback, there's no secret that people are going to have to elevate their game. And, you know, unfortunately at times we didn't do that. But like I said, proud of the effort and proud of those two for stepping in there with limited reps during the year in live action. So I thought they did a pretty good job considering all the things they were up against.
And Dylan Lichty was our first National Bank player the game last night, really more play of the game. Kind of went that option night. That interception he had late in the first half set up our field goal, got us on the board. Looked like the sophomore just read it, picked it, and actually got a good return out of it, too, to set us up.
Right. Dylan's good. Did a great job, you know, this season stepping in as a sophomore playing safety for us. He does a nice job back there, not only defending the pass, but you've seen that he's come up and tackled pretty well as far as against the run. So that part of it's been a pleasant surprise. Him stepping up back there and taking some leadership, being a sophomore. So, there's no doubt that he's done a great job, not only stepping in last night at quarterback, but again in the secondary, helping us out in that situation and building some depth back there.
And then to piggyback off of that, Ong Min nailed a 36-yard field goal. He had the distance. He had the height. That's something nice to know we have in our pocket maybe down here, down the road.
Right. He's done, you know, he did a good job coming out this week, you know, that now that he's the soccer
season is over.
So we had him a little bit more this week and get an opportunity to kick the football in practice and do some things on that end of it. And he was striking the ball well last night. And, you know, kudos to him as far as stepping up in that situation and hitting a big field goal for us to narrow the gap And so that was nice to see. Our kicking game is one that, you know, he's given us a little bit of confidence on that end of it there. So overall, again, it's nice to see him step up and make that field goal for us.
And had some of the good contributions, too. Tyson Lean ran the ball well in the first half. He was bouncing it out a lot, but it was working for him. He had a couple of nice runs. Derek Simmons seemed to be in on about every tackle, especially there in the second half. You know, kids aren't quitting here. Kids are still playing hard.
Right. You know, Tyson's been a staple for us this year running the football, and he's always going to run the football hard. As you mentioned, Derek, he's kind of the leader on our defensive side. He's always around the football. So, you know, there's no faulting how hard we play, but unfortunately, if it was all based upon, you know, effort, then, you know, we'd be sitting here in a great situation. But sometimes it comes down to a little bit more than that.
Now we look ahead to next week. Hopefully, not a lot of injuries do carry over. Dylan Lichty did go out, but it sounds like that was more cramping than anything else. So get set for Tri-Valley. First trip for me to Colton, South Dakota, even though it's not that far from where I grew up. But, you know, Tri-Valley lost last night to Canton. I know they have a pretty big senior class. They've all been playing varsity now for their third year. So they're kind of a meat and potatoes team the way it sounds.
Right, they're no different than probably the last, you know, for that matter, everybody we played is a run-oriented offense. So on that end of it, they still do a good job of running the football. Their passing game, you know, looking at it on video, is pretty much the same as what we saw last year. So they rely heavily on moving the chains and getting plays with their run game. And defensively, They've got some athletes again, so we're going to have our hands full, but we've got to regroup and go back to work on Monday and come up with a plan to try to go down there and bring one back and then build some momentum going into the Mitchell game. So there's no easy ones. So we just got to go down there and execute better and play better and like I said, build a little confidence, you know, and stop this. You know, streak that we're on, and hopefully, again, you know, we can do that and come back ready to go, to finish up the regular season.
And Double-A football is just getting interesting here anyway. The eye-opener last night was Sturgis being Mitchell, not so much them beating them, but pretty much handled them, shut Mitchell out in the second half to win 42-20. And, well, you got the two that are at the top there, the two undefeateds there in Yankton and Brookings. Brookings and Pierre battled. That went to the towards the end of the game before Brookings finally pulled that out. Basically, the thing is, nobody's chasing anybody this year like we were last year.
Right. It's it's pretty separated at the top. It'll be interesting to see how that, you know, unfolds as far as those teams matching up here in the last week or two. But right now, our biggest concern is, you know, Tri-Valley and moving forward and try to build it one step at a time. And this is the next one up, and so we're focused on them come Monday, and we'll look at the video today with the kids. But our biggest thing is we just got to regroup and be ready to go next Friday, making a road trip and coming back here with a W and building some momentum going into the Mitchell game.
Scott Spann, head coach here on Tiger football. Tigers now at 2-5 on the season, on the road to wrap up the regular season at Tri-Valley next Friday, then the following Thursday at Mitchell. At Tri-Valley next Friday will be a 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 pregame on Tiger 95. That'll wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on this weekend before pheasant hunting, by the way, too. Mike Hendrickson in South Dakota Sports History is coming up shortly. Up next will be Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Time now for the top five countdown from the dusty old rodeo trail. Here's your host, Monty James.
Well, the bean counters are done, the audits are finished, and the 2020 NFR roster has been chiseled in stone. As a matter of fact, the 2021 season is already underway. Can you dig it? Now we hit that lull between October and the NFR December 3rd. We have some new biographies in the works, and we're now taking nominations for the 2020 Best of the Territory show. I know, 2020 and anything best of season. Seems like an oxymoron, right? We are looking for your vote for Best Steakhouse this week at Territorial Rodeo Update on Facebook. NFR roster on the other side.
Rodeo announcer Ty Dean here to talk about legendary family-owned Sioux Steel Company. You know, I grew up on a ranch, and we had Sioux Steel gates that my grandfather hung in the 70s, grain bins that we put up in the 80s, and a Pro-Tech indoor arena that my dad built in the 90s. I believe in Sioux Steel American-made products so much that I went to work for them as a territory manager. Call me for pricing on Pro-Tech buildings or to find your nearest Sioux Steel or high-quality dealer. 605-595-4713. Sioux Steel Company, serving American agriculture since 1918. SiouxSteel.com.
Here is the official, unofficial NFR roster for the 2020 NFR as it concerns our 9-state coverage area. Raise it, lock it down, and let's get it on. Fairfax, Iowa's Kim O'Connell locked and loaded for another world championship at number one. Aussie transplant, Jamie Islet of Rapid City, 6th. Tanner Ross, Granite Falls, Minnesota, lurking 8th. Wyoming's Cole Rainer, 12th spot. North Dakota's Ty Brewer will go at number 14. Come on now. Logan, Ramona, Kansas, Slamma, Tanner Bruner, Vegas bound, Arlington, Texas bound in the 6th hole. Jace Melvin, Fort Pierce, South Dakota, number 7. Iowa's Jacob the Elder, 9er. Richard Anderson, Carrington, No Dak, Rolls, 10. Kansanite, Jewel Hazen, dug in 14. Team Ropen, Headers, Only Montation, Clay Tryon makes the cut 7th. Kansas Healers, Buddy Hawkins and Jake Long go 3-4. Colorado, Shea Carroll, 7th. Sturgis, South Dakota's Eli Lord. Hit and Razor makes his first trip, hunkered in at number 12. Let the healing begin, brothers and sisters.
Where are you both in Jesus' name?
Saddle Bronx, Brody Kress, Hillsdale, Wyoming, 6-3rd. Shody Garrett, E-Dubuque, South Dakota, kinfolk to Casey Tibbs, NFR bound at number 4. South Dakota's Cole Elsher, 6th. Montana Jamma, Chase Brooks, Chillany. Tied out Ropen, Only Haven Megan of Montana in the big show. Nebraska's Riley Pruitt fades to 17th. Nebraska not representing this year at the NFR, can you but leave it?
No.
Bumper Barrels, 9 of the top 10 can maidens from Texas. South Dakota's Jessica Rotier, Texas bound at number 9. Lisa Lockhart making her 14th trip to the NFR at Lucky 13. You go, girl.
Do it.
4-0 twist in. Late season surge from Colorado Twisters. Ty Wallace and Colton Fritzlin will send them to Arlington ranked 9 and 10, respectively. Nary a bull rider from Wyoming, Montana, or the Dakotas at this year's NFR. Racket, I'm out. Thanks to our sponsors at legendary Sioux Steel Company. Props to producer Mitchell Gallant at the Air Force at this great American radio station. Money James for the TRU.
For the best deals on new and used McCormick tractors, see the all-star lineup and pricing at PremierEQSD.com. Just like the 180 years of heritage going all the way back to the old Cyrick McCormick in 1831, Premier Equipment is steeped in history, too. Founded by Bill Linscott back in 1951, the five Premier Equipment locations pride themselves in being farm family-owned. No corporate conglomerations at Premier. Don't matter where you live in the Midwest, for the best deals on farm and ranch equipment, hit them up at PremierEQSD.com. It is about that time. We sit down once a week and we check in with somebody at the Real Estate Connection. We talk to Reg Kleinsasser generally. We talk about places that are for sale if you'd like to purchase a home. We talk about the competitive market analysis. If you're thinking about selling your home, Real Estate Connection will come out and compare your places of comparable size to your place, places in your neighborhood that have sold. And they would give you, if you will, a jumping off, a starting off price for your home. Now, you're not obligated to buy at that or to sell at that point, but give them a call at the Real Estate Connection, 352-1300, or call Reg directly at 350-2223. Check them out at realestatehuron.com. You could get into the home of your dreams. They're also members of the multiple list service, so no matter what that sign says, if it says for sale, you can purchase that through the Real Estate Connection. There are just a few exceptions. They're called agency exclusives. We'll tell you about them when we come across some, but you don't see them a whole lot. For the most part, if it says for sale, you can purchase that home through the Real Estate Connection. And we bring on Reg Kleinsasser from the Real Estate Connection. Reg, how you doing today?
We're doing good, Matt.
Hey, the weather kind of holding on. This is typical, and I don't want to say, I shouldn't say this out loud because I'm going to jinx it. This is typical autumn weather, is it not?
Beautiful.
I know, and then I'm just waiting for like, oh, snow next Friday, or maybe, I don't even know, maybe a thunderstorm? I'm not even sure anymore.
I think this is going to last till about December 1st.
Oh, now I like that. Write that down. Reg says no winter until at least December. I know, I like that. I knew there was a reason I like this guy. On top of that, he will get you into the home of your dreams. We can also talk about hunting ground, farm ground. You want to move to the country, you want to move to town, you want to downsize, upgrade, you want to try your hand at business. They've got businesses for sale. Reg, where are you going to take us today, sir?
Well, we are going to take you to the country today, Matt. We're going to start out at with a price reduction, actually. This is 4663 Aspen Drive. This is a little development, a little acreage development down in the southwest part of town, about a mile south of town and then off to the west. Beautiful opportunity with a four-bedroom, three-bath home, very unique home. There's 4 acres property, and it is a timber-framed home. So you've got the soaring ceilings, the wide-open layout. A beautiful, beautiful home at 4663 Aspen Drive. There's a triple attached garage on this home. There's a very nice deck out front. There's a beautiful four-season room out back. In addition to the triple attached garage, you have an extra, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 garage spaces available as well. And we have a brand new price, just reduced yesterday. The price on this home is now $419,900. So great opportunity if you're looking to be out in the country, want to be out on the edge of town, not too far out. This is the perfect opportunity. Maybe you're looking for a few more acres. We've got a great opportunity just a couple miles farther out. This is to the west of town. It's about 3.5 miles, so it's very, very accessible to town. And this is a opportunity with 40 acres. This is 20974 396th Avenue. You just go west of West Park a couple miles, and then you go to the south a mile and a half. This is it has a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, has a single attached garage. It has a 2,688 square feet. It's had quite a few updates. It's got a newer kitchen with a big island in the middle. Very, very nice kitchen. A new master bathroom. Newer air conditioning. Newer septic system. Great opportunity if you want to be in the country. This is a 40-acre property. The seller would consider selling just 4 acres. Can't go anywhere in between, but there is the possibility of 4 acres as well. So give us a call. We can tell you a lot more about that. Right here in town in the city limits, we've got a great opportunity at 222 19th Street Southwest. This is actually a 5-bedroom, 2-bath home. There's a 2,500 square feet that, and most of it has been completely updated. Very, very beautiful kitchen with a brand new kitchen with hickory cabinets, rustic hickory, a big island in the middle, big open dining area, big open living area, totally open concept. Got a fireplace, great family living space if you like big family gatherings, get-togethers, whatever. Great opportunity. The bathrooms have been redone. The